Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. With me is Phil Conlon.
Yes, good afternoon, Phil.
And today we're going to be focused on Burkina Faso. There's been, an uprising there against the president. The president has left the country. He has resigned. That's Blaise Compaoré, if I've pronounced it right. And we are very fortunate because we're going to be talking to Paul Sankara. Paul Sankara is in the United States, and he is the brother of one of the great figures of the struggle for independence in Burkina Faso. And indeed, Thomas Sankara named the country Burkina Faso. It was Upper Volta under the French, and they won their independence. And then following that, the revolutionary leadership chose the name Burkina Faso, which basically means honorable people. And therefore, we think it's going to be highly enlightening to speak with Mr. Paul Sankara. I think Mr. Paul Sankara has joined us. Are you there, sir?
Yes.
How are you?
Fantastic. And yourself?
I'm doing well. And you must be a little bit more excited than the rest of us in that in your homeland, there has been an upheaval, a very significant transition, I guess, is going on there. I suppose it's far from over. But I'd be really interested just to begin with, how have you been reacting? Were you surprised at the sudden collapse of this president, Blaise Compaoré?
Thank you for having me. And first and foremost, I would like really to take this advantage of this opportunity to pay my tribute on behalf of myself, the Sankara family, and all the friends and comrades throughout the world. Pay my tribute to the freedom fighters. As you know, more than 30 young people have been killed during the October Revolution in Burkina Faso. Mm-hmm. So that's the first important thing I wanted to point out.
Uh-huh.
About my own reaction, it's surprise, yes and no. Yes, by the way, things went really fast and quick. But at the same time, 27 years, there is a principle of a logic of getting fed up with a regime after such of number of years.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever performance you have done, alternance is something. It's an obligation. You have to give the power to somebody based on the constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And plus the nature of the Compaoré regime, honestly, has to be stopped at a certain point because they're getting a little bit more and more worse for people.
Yes. In your opinion, what caused him to try to hang on? I guess the flashpoint was this issue of saying to the people, we're going to have a change the constitution and I will go ahead and be the president, and that seemed to be the moment. Why was he in such a fragile condition that he wanted to do that?
Honestly, I think it's he had a Blaise Compaoré sort of blindness about the reality. In Burkina Faso, in Africa, and the new context in the world, people need more social justice. They need alternance. You can't stay 27 years. Whatever you have done for people, they will fed up at a certain point. That's the reason why the so-called advanced democracies, they set up two terms, like in the U.S., 2x4, and that's it for any government. So, also, I can explain that by the fact that people surrounding him starting with his younger brother, wanted to really, by force, stay in the power. So it's being, you know, not aware about the situation. And since Thomas Sankara assassination, I guess people start doing little by little organization to denounce the regime. To he succeeded at a certain point, like in the 1995, 1998, to with the link with the France, because he was the special guest in July 14th in France for the independence, French independence, in the time of Jacques Chirac.
Storming the Bastille.
Yeah. Correct. So, and different turmoils happened in Burkina, including Norbert Zongo, the journalist assassination in 1998. And he succeeded to go over this social and political protest.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the last few days, he thought that he's going to be able to maneuver and try to find a strategy to go over the claims and the revendication. But as many people said in the history, you cannot fool all the people all the time. That's what it is.
Yes.
You know, certain points you can succeed. You know, mm-hmm. Half of a quarter of centuries, it works, mm-hmm. but not all the time, and that's you know, roughly that's my view about what's happened in Burkina recently.
Let me ask you, and I'll remind our listeners: this is Paul Sankara. He is the brother of the legendary Thomas Sankara, who was one of the key leaders of the Burkina Faso revolutionary movement and a struggle for independence. Now, I'm seeing, to the extent that I can identify, and of course the language is French pretty much and other languages, but I look at some of the images and I am seeing photographs of your brother all over the place in the streets of Ouagadougou. So this movement against a president who stayed too long, is there some content? Do you have the impression that people would like to resume the path that your brother was had set for the country?
Yeah, well, I was telling you that it's since October 15th, 1987, that's the date of Thomas Sankara assassinations. People didn't have the same means and tools and forces to organize themselves at that time. But it's a process. So what's happened a few days ago is not sudden. It's a whole process. You get the young people, they're reading, they're watching videos on Thomas Sankara and different occasions. Out of Burkina, people traveling, and the first thing when you introduce yourself, saying that you come from Burkina Faso, oh, Thomas Sankara.
Yes.
So it's.
I was once in Ouagadougou, and that's exactly what happened.
So it's keychains, a T-shirt, hats, stickers, such and such places, name. Using the Thomas Sankara name to name it in throughout the whole continent, African continent. So I guess he didn't take it seriously. Mm-hmm. Blaise Compaoré got money through a rebellion in Ivory Coast, the gold in Liberia and Sierra Leone, the diamond with Jonas Savimbi in Angola. So I can use clientelism, I can bribery, corruption, pay people and try to wipe Thomas Sankara's image and the revolution, even if he was himself the second in charge of the revolution. But anyway, mm-hmm. he fooled himself, because it's, as Thomas said, you can kill revolutionaries, but you cannot do the revolution itself. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. Once again, it was a whole process. There is no way to have a good governance, develop the countries in Africa without using at least part of what has been tried to be done in Burkina Faso during the 4 years of Thomas Sankara. I'm saying that it's not just as a brother, mm-hmm. Activist or civil society member or political opponent organization member. No, it's even United Nations agencies like in charge of health, education, UNESCO, and such and such. Mm-hmm. After Sankara's assassination, released some reports, and they said in 4 years, including IMF, mm-hmm. the program, the agenda, and the results, it's fabulous. It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. So it's something that is you cannot use just the blood diamond money and get a new image, even if you have a support from friends and such and such. He fooled himself.
You're right. I want to make some of the things that were accomplished in those 4 years. I know that when I was in Ouagadougou, I was impressed that the streets were full of motorbikes, and most of the drivers of the motorbikes were women. And your brother is the one who broke down in a very aggressive way. He said, we're not going to subjugate or make women second-class citizens. He worked very hard to see that they had equality, and he was doing that in a very short period of time. And even though he was assassinated, these things, the accomplishments remain and very visible.
Totally. It's the new mindset that has been set up in the time of the revolution with Thomas Sankara, it's remained. That's one. When I have been asked many times, what's the legacy of Thomas Sankara? I said it's the new mindset. Tell the Burkinabe people and Africans that there is no way to develop yourself than being in charge of your own destiny, your own history. Even being a landlocked country, Burkina Faso, okay, let's see what we can do with the minimum of means that we have. But the good example has to be to start from the top of the country. That's why he said, okay, from now, no person in charge authority should travel in a first class. He used to say that the airplane will take off at the same time, whether you be in the first or second or last class. And it will land off at the same time than others. The only difference is you have the privilege to have your champagne in first class and such and such. But you went to school, you became a deputy or minister and such authority. How about the 90% of the Burkinabe people that don't have access to drinkable water? How can we fill the gap? Mm-hmm. Between the urban elite and the countryside people who are struggling with to afford the daily basics, that was the key point, mm-hmm. you know. But we have to count on our own assets before waiting for any external. Aid.
Yes.
That's what he said in the United Nations. We need aid that help us to avoid aid. Mm-hmm. Give us some tools and equipment for agriculture and such and such, and, you know, to get our own independence. Mm. Teach us how to fish to get some fish, but don't give us the fish. I don't know if it's a good translation, but yes, He did it. He did it. One thing, for example, that's the time of the revolution, a corruption commission has been set up in order to avoid that appointed and officials cannot have to declare what they have before taking place in the new position. Mm-hmm. And then they will check out when your term will be done to see what's the difference. What did you get when you stay such years under your office? So it's something.
Yeah, he set an example. By the way, he was legendary for this phenomenon. He drove his own vehicle. He didn't want he didn't believe in chauffeurs. He liked to ride his motorcycle or motorbike. And by the way, he was a musician. Is it true that he wrote the national anthem of Burkina Faso?
I don't have the
well,
the right answer.
If the brother doesn't know, I'm not going to claim it. let me ask
you. You won't surprise me.
Yeah. There's two things I want to make sure I get at. Are you following closely what people are calling for? What are they? Do they have particular slogans beyond the removal of Compaoré and a new parliament, etc.? Do you get a feeling that they're going to make some demands? For example, I understand that the mining companies, and indeed there are Canadian, I think, gold mining companies in your country. There is a military presence of the U.S. and or the British, perhaps the French. Are those going to become issues for the people of Burkina Faso?
Honestly, it's specific issues that I don't have a specific answer about that. But I'm pretty sure that a new way of having a relationship, partnership, will be set up with the new government coming, whether it is a transition period of 12 months or 10 months, I don't know exactly, because they're still having a dialogue and a conversation about, how would be the transition period. But even after the elections next year, 2015, mm-hmm. November 2015, they have to get inspiration to use what has been done in the 4 years in diplomacy and cooperation and partnership with whether it is Canada, the U.S. or France and so on. So, mm-hmm. Yes, more transparency, more accountability in order to make the people get benefits of what they have in the ground. You can live in the countryside. Okay, we discover a lot of gold mine, and then a few persons, like dozens or tens or surrounding or member of the biologic family of Compaoré, who's in charge of the gold or such and such resources. It's the whole accumulations in 27 years, I guess, that's what made this social and political explosion, a few days ago. Mm. So, yes, I'm pretty sure they will revise the contract with the different companies, Canadian, or American, mm-hmm. and French, and so on. Let me give you an example. The neighboring country, Niger, a few months ago, they under the pressure of the trade union and social organization, asked the executive, the president, to to check out the contract, because since 1960s or something like that, it's France had more than 60% or 70% of the uranium.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not acceptable. So, and they changed it. Yeah. It was not easy, but there was a dialogue and meetings and the work on it. And at least you have to make it 50-50. That's this kind of new mindset and new leaders, new elite, new social civil society.
Yes,
they work on it. They traveling. They're listening and watching what's happening in different countries in the world. So we can't be part of the evolutions of the new way of ruling countries.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we need a government, but the government exists because we exist. We, the 10 and 40 and 50 million people, so you can make it like it's your own company, you know, like a familial company. It's yours, so that's...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let me just tell our listeners, we're speaking to Paul Sankara. He is the brother of Thomas Sankara, who is one of the great revolutionary leaders of modern Africa, and who is a legend across the continent, I know from my own work in Africa. And, of course, this is CIUT 89.5 FM, the Taylor Report. I want to ask, there's, of course, as you would expect, the great powers, particularly France, who used to administer, and it was in Upper Volta, now it's Burkina Faso, and they are showing a kind of neo-colonial interest in the whole region. I notice in Mali and elsewhere, Ivory Coast. Then there's the Organization of African Unity, and the leader showed up today, I believe, in Ouagadougou. I noticed that the meeting was at the airport, so I guess they didn't ask him to sleep over. But they had made some kind of unfriendly kind of comments about how the army had to immediately step down and turn over power to civilians. But I noticed that the army leaders are saying, we will do that, but we're going to do it in our own time. What's your analysis of that? What do you think about the OAU coming there?
I'm really disappointed and surprised. I would say thanks to United Nations, United States of America, European Union, France, including African Union. Okay, for the position that they took, have been taken about Blaise Compaoré's falling, but at the same time, they have the power to do it long time before.
Mm-hmm.
But under the pressure to let them know clearly that is not acceptable. You already did 2 terms of 7 years and 2 terms of 5 years. So now there is no question of blurry positions. He has been asked, what's your position about next year election? No, I have an agenda. I'm not thinking about elections. I got to work for my people. No, at that time, they should call him or send some envoys and say, okay, you know, now it's you got to be clear.
Yes.
You have to go to the
saying they
radio.
The OAU could have said that to Mr. Compaoré.
Absolutely. Like
they
two
did
months
not.
Ago. No, they did not.
And meanwhile, by the way, if I could get your comment, he was interfering rather vigorously into the internal affairs of a neighboring state, Cote d'Ivoire.
That was my next point. When articles, journalists, and whoever, etc., are talking about he stayed 27 years in the power, but at the same time, he did a lot of things, especially in the mediations and facilitations of crises in Africa. It's how you call it in English, in French, they say it's a pompier pyromane. You defy the fighters, but at the same time, you're the one who put fire on it in different countries. Don't trust any of my words. Go check it on different websites. You will see it. The United Nations website, 1999-2000. Embargo has been put to on Jonas Savimbi about the weapon bill. Mm-hmm. Jonas Savimbi passed through Burkina Faso the time of Blaise Compaoré to get some weapons, and he gave him a couple of suitcases of diamond. It's written there.
Mm.
Rebellion in Ivory Coast.
Yeah, those
they have been supported and trained and. The money with, from
and they wreaked havoc in Ivory Coast,
Liberia. The backup country of Jonas Savimbi, Charles Taylor used to be Burkina Faso,
mm-hmm.
Sierra Leone, the coup d'état in Mauritania. That's through one of the advisors that is right now in Ivory Coast with Blaise Compaoré because he fled too. His name is Mustafa Shafi. They did a coup d'état in Mauritania. No, it's that was his strategy.
Yeah, and so if they could have called him on the carpet, the OAU could have been making demands of him. And
absolutely,
that they're going to try to make now.
And they had, and they still have, all the evidence. It doesn't come from Burkina Faso or African civil society movement or opponent, political opponent. No, it's the Human Rights Watch, Amnesty, United Nations website. You can see it, pages after pages, and they said, okay, he's involved to such and such and such and such.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's not in the detail, his name is there. You got some African government and president that has not been named. Mm-hmm. Why? And his name is there everywhere. It's okay. That's I guess that's the whole strategy of Blaise Compaoré regime.
We're not
a big rich country, but mm-hmm. I will try to get my piece of the pie. Even including, have to be, put the fire in different crises.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, where to control, to get gold, diamond, money that they can use to relieve a little bit the internal crisis in Burkina Faso. But as I said earlier, this way of governing can work. With the support of France, a newspaper called L'Intelligence Jeune Afrique in France, based in France, in Paris,
Jeune Afrique.
Said Jeune Afrique. More than 15 years ago, the new Oufouet Boigny in Burkina Faso, Blaise Compaoré. And whoever knows a little bit about Oufouet Boigny in terms of having a size, a pressure, or influence, impact on the whole continent, at least the western part of the African continent, can figure out what that means when Jeune Afrique said the new Oufouet Boigny. That's the direct representative, the direct puppet, watchdog of France network, France-Afrique in West Africa. So that's why he used this. He get benefits from this cover, the support, even Mali. The clash happened a few months ago. That's why the Tuareg issue, the northern part of a crisis in Mali, the case has been given to Algerian to try to find a way to figure out them.
Mm-hmm.
In 1994, Islamists, which was in Paris at that time, some Islamists has been sent from Paris in France to Burkina Faso, said, "Wow, what's the relationship? We're not the most Muslim country in West Africa, neither in Africa. Why Burkina Faso?" So the mafia role and place of Blaise Compaoré regime didn't start a few years ago. It's a long, I guess, before Thomas assassination.
Uh-huh. Now, and focusing on that, and again, we're speaking to Paul Sankara. He is the brother of the great socialist and revolutionary president of Burkina Faso, who was assassinated in 1987. And I noticed that your sister-in-law, the widow of Thomas Sankara, she is saying that she's, of course, very pleased that Mr. Compaoré has come down and that there's going to be a new democratic government, she hopes. And then she is also saying, that what she said all in these years, is when are we going to then, can we expect, she hopes, to expect, an investigation, finally, into the who assassinated Thomas Sankara. And it strikes me that would be an important thing to do at some stage. Otherwise, you don't have a mature democracy, right? Somebody's going to have to answer for who murdered Thomas Sankara.
Absolutely. Yes, it is Thomas Sankara, charismatic and emblematic figure. But beside that, it's a logical and justice basic principle. Somebody has been assassinated, murdered, mm-hmm. October 15, 1987. His name, Thomas Sankara, was the leader of the revolution at that time. A piece of paper has been given to the family has the notice, the following notice: died for natural causes.
Really?
Absolutely. You can see it in different articles, the photocopy or different books.
Who signed that paper? A doctor? Who signed
Commandant, commandant, doctor, military doctor, commandant, Alidou Djebre.
Hmm.
His name is there. Signed.
Uh-huh.
First.
Natural causes.
Natural causes.
My understanding is that, I hate to say that, I mean, this is a morbid matter, but the physical remains of your brother were never found.
Yeah, not at all. Second, the
that's
body...
That's not natural.
Correct. The body, no one in the family didn't see it or receive it. So we don't know how it looks like, what's happened. No, at least the body of Thomas Sankara belonging to the family of Thomas Sankara. His wife,
to the people of Burkina Faso.
Absolutely correct. It's not even the family. It's Thomas Sankara no. Doesn't belong anymore to the family. So a whole process has been done to avoid the technical process, because 10 years after, if we didn't do anything, we couldn't be able to claim get a lawsuit. From 1997 to now, all the lawyers throughout the world went to International Campaign Justice for Thomas Sankara. They went to United Nations. United Nations said the family was right on all the points, but you cannot expect the same people, Blaise Compaoré, to give the latitude and the power to the justice to mm-hmm. take care of this case.
But this any investigation would get to the issues of motive and whether or not this was a Burkina Faso assassination or perhaps involving external powers, because there were states, I believe France and certainly others, who did not want Thomas Sankara to continue. You would think this needs to be examined. One thing I want to mention or ask you about, I saw an interview with Mariam Sankara, the widow. She said that they regarded, at the time of the assassination, they regarded Mr. Compaoré as a comrade and had no inkling this would happen. And she said that he never contacted them. To this day, he's never said a word to them. Is that true?
Completely. Completely. She's completely right. Our parents, dad and mom, passed away a few years ago, 2000 and 2006. By the way, dad passed away the same day than the beginning of the revolution, 2006, August 4th. The revolution started on August 4th, 1983. Okay, that was just a parenthesis. And no one of them didn't see the body, and they did not have any thing from any approach from Blaise Compaoré.
Mm-hmm.
Daddy has been asked, yes, you are. What's your reaction about your son's assassination, Thomas? He said, no. I have two sons. No, I have two sons. One is dead, doesn't live anymore. But the second one, the door of my house is still open, waiting for him.
Hmm.
At that time, I was like, man, why he can say that? That's my daddy, but no, cannot say this kind of thing. And later on, I got the deepest level of this assessment.
Mm-hmm.
Just to invite Les and said, okay, you used to come here in my poor, modest house, talk to me about different kind of things, including your private life and such and such and such. And suddenly, 2 weeks before October 15th, 1987, so Thomas' assassination, I didn't see you anymore. And I even sent one of my sons, which is my older brother, who's lives now in the family, the same house with his family in Ouagadougou. And this son came twice and told me that, okay, you went to you have a trip, and then you come, when you come back, you come and see me. Twice it didn't happen until October 15th happened. So since October 15th, no, 2 weeks, since 2 weeks before, that's a, 2 or 3 weeks before, that's the last time he came in the
uh-huh.
in the parents' house. So no personal approach from Blaise Compaoré to Mariam or the dad or ma'am. No, he didn't.
He is now in a different circumstance. Maybe
absolutely.
Maybe the truth will come out. I noticed, by the way, that Mariam made a very nice statement. She said, we're still open to, if he wants to tell us what he knows, our door is open to him.
Correct.
I was very impressed with that, because this is a matter of saying, well, let's just find out what the truth is. Well, it's very great to talk to you, we all take heart at what's developing. I hope we can talk to you again soon to assess the situation in Burkina Faso as it evolves in your family, and certainly the name Thomas Sankara inspires a lot of people. So we thank you very, very much.
My pleasure. And I just want to remind everyone something. It's from now, the first power and the last one, that's the people. Based on the constitution, and you have the youth, and they will remind any government that you have to stick on what is written on the first paper document, which is the constitution. That's the first power.
Mm-hmm.
So, you said bravo to them.
They have to keep the faith with the people.
Correct. The power of the people.
Well, we're very grateful. Thank you very, very much.
Anytime, sir.
Okay, no. Paul Sankara, thank you very much. Bye-bye. That is the brother of Thomas Sankara. And if you don't know Thomas Sankara, now is the time to look him up. Because, as they say in Sudbury, what goes around comes around. You must understand about the role of Thomas Sankara, the revolution in Burkina Faso, which was very broad and deep, as led by Thomas Sankara and others. And it was one that antagonized the great powers, they treated him very much the way they did Patrice Lumumba and others. And so he's very important to look into his career to understand the events that are unfolding today. And incidentally, the widow is very well spoken. I was impressed. That's the beauty of the internet. You can go and you can watch her being interviewed. You can, of course, most of these now provide translations. Very articulate woman. And I know, of course, at the moment, Burkina Faso population is trying to answer basic questions of who's going to be the government. This government tried to hang on to power. They were increasingly narrowly based. They were, as he told us, involved in little adventures with their neighbors, overthrowing neighbors and arming people. He said they gave diamonds to some people to use to buy weapons to use against the government of Ivory Coast / Cote d'Ivoire. So they have settled with him for a bit. He decided to leave town while the leaving was good. We'll see where it goes next. But I did ask him about this point of the military. Sometimes people see generals and they say, well, that's a bad thing. It can be a bad thing, but if they also are people from Burkina Faso, there are good generals and there are bad generals. We have hero generals and we have villain generals. I would say they have far more to say about the future of their country than it does a visitor who says, I'm the president of the OAU. Well, that isn't, you're not responsible for the citizens of Burkina Faso. When they start saying things like, you have to hand over power in 48 hours, I would say, well, no, I give you 24 to get to the airport. You know, you can't make that kind of comment. You're not there. This is the fight among the people for themselves to solve. And by the way, once you have people, as they do, in the streets of Ouagadougou, even generals cannot run a country. It's up to the people then to decide. And it is fact. And I invite you to go Burkina Faso and look for images and look at all the wonderful. You'll see crowds, thousands and thousands of people holding up one picture. And it's not 10 pictures, not 10 different. It's one of Thomas Sankara. And he was extraordinary. This thing of, he really smashed segregation or the oppression of women with a terrific blow. He said there will be equality for women. And I was in one country, in a neighboring country, and everybody rode motorcycles there, except everybody driving them was a man. You'd see women on the backs of the motorcycle. I won't talk about that country, just to say that's what I saw. If a woman wanted to ride a motorcycle, she could ride behind the man. So I fly to Ouagadougou, and there are motorcycles all over, and most of them driven by women, including I saw women driving motorcycles who were holding baskets on their head going to market. So they were driving a motorcycle, holding the basket. And I thought, this is the country of Thomas Sankara. Not that I said it too loud, because I was staying at a hotel that was called the Hands of God Hotel, and that's the way I felt. It's an exciting moment. By the way, Thomas Sankara was a great admirer of Fidel Castro. If there's a happy man in our hemisphere today, it'd be Fidel, who was a good friend. He was an inspiration to Mr. Sankara. We don't talk about that enough, that the inspiration many African leaders took from the Cuban, the people, as we know, Angola, and of course, Nelson Mandela. It's always forgotten. Fidel was before Mandela. Mandela was a nice fella. He was for good things, but he was inspired by the Cuban Revolution. That's often not, you're not supposed to bring it up in polite company, but I'm not polite anyway, so